You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
This past week, I've been in Baltimore with the Southern Baptist Convention, where everybody kind of gets together and does that whole thing. And I got to speak on two panels and speak at a luncheon. And I want you to know, so that you can be encouraged as a church, how amazing it was, because here's what everybody wanted to know about. We have heard of this thing called Mission 1-8. Would you tell us? So I got to speak at this luncheon to 1,000 pastors and 1,000 pastors and their wives about Mission 1-8 and what God's doing in our church. One of the panels was about basically Mission 1-8 and what God's doing. And so I just want you to know, and us to know, from Siena to Cyprus to downtown to the Loop, God is doing things in our church that are going out. We want to reach our city, our nation, and our world, not forgetting about the widow, the poor, the orphan, and the prisoner, but we want to reach out further and further, and God is using us. It made me think about this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Don't turn there. That's not where we're going to be today. Verse 7 and 8, it says, "So you became a model to the believers, and the Lord's message rang out from you, and your faith in God has become known to everyone everywhere. Therefore, we did not need to say anything about it, for they themselves gave the report of what kind of reception you had given us." So God is using our church in ways we didn't even plan on it. If you don't know what Mission 1-8 is, you need to find out and jump in, because God's doing some great things of our church being able to be generous to say, we want to give and go and be and pray. So I just want you to know that from Baltimore to here. Yeah, let's clap for that. That's good. That's good. God's doing his work. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 19. If you got your Bible, turn there, Proverbs 19. And we're going to be talking about this word on Father's Day of patience. I decided there's two words on Father's Day you can either talk about: poverty or patience. One of those two. So I went ahead and went with patience, because we need patience of all of us. We need patience. I remember a guy across the street, lived across the street from us in a house we lived in at College Station. We were talking in the yard, getting to know each other. And he said, "How many kids do you have?" And I said, "I have one child." He just had one at the time. I got two now. He said, "I have one child." And he goes, "One child is a hobby. Three or more is real parenting," is what he said. So whether you're just in a hobby like I am with two children, or three or more into real parenting, we all need patience. Men, we need patience. Women, we need patience. All of us need patience. Listen to this poem. "Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman and never in a man." We need to look at this word of patience and understand this word of patience on Father's Day. But for all of us, we need to know it. It's Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, and this is what it says. I'm reading it in the New International Version. I like this verse better in that version, so I want to read it to you in that, usually in the Holman, but here it is in NIV. "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense." A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. So let's ask the question about patience. Let's just talk about the word for a second. Where does patience come from? We think that patience comes from passivity. We think that being patient is being passive. Being patient means you stand in a line and you don't complain. Being patient means people say things you don't like and you just don't say anything. Being patient means that people aggravate you and you just stay quiet. Being patient, we think it's birthed from passivity. Patience is not from passivity. Patience is wise, not passive. Patience is wise, not passive. That's why the scripture says there that a man's wisdom gives him patience. Wisdom is where patience comes from. Here's what it means. In patience, we have where we're standing in line and we have the wisdom to not make a fool of ourselves. In patience, we're standing in the line or somebody's aggravated us. We have the wisdom to not speak to it at that moment. Something goes wrong, we have the wisdom to wait till later. There's patience that happens. See, patience is maintaining self-control under pressure. Patience is maintaining self-control under pressure. It's not being passive. It's maintaining self-control under pressure. So something comes at you that you don't like. Something happens that you didn't expect. Something takes place that you didn't want. Someone aggravates you. Someone breaks something. Someone gets in trouble. Whatever it is, it's maintaining self-control underneath that pressure. True patience is not when everything's going easy and you just sit back and go, oh, I'm a patient person. As I sit on the beach on vacation, look how patient I am. No, it's patience when you're under pressure. It's when the coworkers come in and tell you there's a problem. It's when the employees or the employers tell you that something's gone wrong. And you go, let me think about this. And from a place of wisdom, let me step forward. It is maintaining self-control under pressure. If you were to look at the Hebrew word, it would mean this, to be long, to be long. It means to take a problem and to elongate the response instead of just react. What do we usually do? It's a knee-jerk reaction. Something happens, goes wrong, we get mad, we respond, we say something about it. We do something about it. It's being long. That's where we get the word long-suffering that you may have heard. The Bible will explain patience as that. To be long-suffering is to be patient. See, God wants to do something in our waiting. Do you know that life has different stages of waiting? A child has to wait before they can ride a bike. A teenager has to wait before they can drive a car. A college student has to wait before they go to college to graduate high school. The medical student has to wait to be conferred upon them to be a doctor before they can practice medicine. You have to wait to get your promotion. You're an employee before you're an employer. You work on the loading dock before you give the orders to bring in the load. There is patience that happens, and there is waiting that happens. We talk about waiting in purity, that you wait to have sex until you're married. And then as you're waiting in marriage, you're going to wait on him sometimes. You're going to wait on her sometimes. You're going to wait on God sometimes. God has a plan in the waiting. God has a plan in the waiting. He wants to mature us in the waiting process. I'm so glad when I look back on my life, the things that I thought I was ready for that God did not give me. I was not ready to be married when I thought I was ready to be married. I was not ready to have kids when I thought I was ready to have kids. I wasn't ready to pastor when I thought I was ready to pastor. I wasn't ready for a lot of things. And I look back and I look at these waiting and these patient points and I say, thank you, Lord, for not giving me what I want when I wanted it. Because we usually are in a big time hurry, aren't we? Philip Brooks was known as a New England preacher way back in the day, and he was known for his poise and his quiet manner. He was pacing back and forth in his office at the church. One of his friends walked in and said, Mr. Brooks, what is wrong? He said, I'll tell you what's wrong. I am in a hurry and God is not. I'm in a hurry and God is not. You may be in a huge hurry. God's not. He's not in a hurry. He is very patient. He sees eternity past to eternity future. Now, here's the deal. We need wisdom to let this work itself out. We need wisdom to wait upon the Lord. Some of you are single and you're waiting upon a spouse. Some of you are married and you're waiting upon kids. We're all waiting on something, and we've got to let God give us wisdom to grow in our patience. Now, men, let me speak to us just very clearly as men, okay? I'm not trying to be sexist, just men. Let's just talk men just for a second. Men are frustrated by inefficiency and inaction. Men are frustrated by inefficiency and inaction. Now, that's something that guys, that the Lord has put in us, ladies, that's good. We want to be efficient. We want to be active. That's a blessing. That's the blessing of a man. Let's do something, and let's do something now, and let's see if we can do the right thing. So men, we become impatient with inefficiency and inaction. We stand in line, and we're like, who's in charge of this? I mean, why is there not 7 registers open? There's only one. And honey, calm down. They seem like they're sweet people. But who's in charge of this? It's inaction. Do something about this. What are you doing? Why are you just sitting there? Do something about this. It's inefficient. It doesn't go in the ways that we think that it should go. Can I just tell you this, men, on Father's Day, there is nothing more inefficient than having children. Children are tremendously inefficient, aren't they? I mean, how many times we got to buy the same thing, right? Because it keeps getting broken. Very inefficient. Inaction. Am I the only one that's got to, is anybody going to help with this luggage here on this deal? It's inefficient and it's inaction. And so what happens is we become impatient, don't we? And God wants to use parenting to make us more patient. And here's what happens in our impatience. This is for men and women. We are more impatient with those that are closest to us. We are more impatient with those that are the closest to us. We love them. and we're the most impatient with them. We'll be more patient with somebody we don't even know at some place. No, 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 you go ahead. You go ahead. And then we're shoving our family out of the way for us to get ahead. We are more impatient with those that we know, those that we love than those that we do not know. Why? Because we can predict their behavior. We've been down this road before. When you're a parent and somebody puts the sippy cup at the edge of the table, you're like, I know what's going to happen with this. I mean, it's just, there it goes. Of course, there it goes. It always happens. There you go. Stan, will you hand that back to me? There you go. I might need a sip of water. And then the dad picks it back up. Perfect illustration right there. They're wearing their beautiful white outfit and everybody orders barbecue. I know where this is going. This is where it's going. You predict what's going to happen. But see, when we love those that are the closest to us, we're able to step forward with patience. What is it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the famous love chapter? What's the first word? For love is patient and love is kind, and on it goes. So those that we have the closest, we've got to love the most and love through wisdom with patience. And often we are impatient with those that we're the closest with because we can predict their actions. So what happens is dad begins to get aggravated because he knows what's going to happen. He's not mad about this. He's mad about the 10 things that happened to lead up to this because he knew this was going to happen. This is just number 11 of how this is going to happen. So men, we've got to lay down our inefficiency. We got to lay down our desire for efficiency, I should say, and lay down our desire for action and realize that some of the greatest things we can do are not about the task, it's about the relationships around the task. It's about the people we're doing these things with, not about getting the thing done. And now we see it at a different level and we're able to be more patient. I don't want to be known as a father with a short fuse, and neither do you, but we can all get there very easily, can't we? Because inefficiency and inaction, a lot of times that's what makes up a great family environment. It's everybody lingering at the table, having a good time together. So what happens in these things? We've got to lay it down to the Lord. Let me just be transparent with you. Kelly and I, in our first year of marriage in particular, we've been married almost 17 years now. This summer will be 17. In our first year of marriage, here's what would happen. All of our fights surrounded around basically two things coming together. Every fight, no matter what it was these two things coming together. Now, thankfully, we're not yellers and screamers. We try to fight in a healthy way even. You're going to have some fights. You're going to disagree on stuff. That's just how it goes. And so here's what we would fight about every time. Her indecisiveness and my impatience. No matter what the issue was, that's what it basically came down to. She was indecisive and I was impatient. Do you see how that's a loop you can't get out of type thing? She's indecisive, so I'm like, come on, make a decision. When you push me to make a decision, I can't make a decision, right? So it's just this loop. Now, thankfully, praise the Lord, we have grown tremendously. She is much more decisive and hopefully I am more patient, okay? I hope that to be true. So here we have indecisiveness and impatience would hit. I'd say, well, where do you want to eat tonight? The big smile. I don't know. We'd pull in the parking lot of the restaurant that we had decided on like 3 miles back. This isn't the one. It just didn't feel, And my philosophy was like, look, we're going to eat 3 times a day for the rest of our life. If we get it wrong at lunch, we'll get it right at dinner. Who cares? There's no pressure on this decision. But her indecisiveness would be my impatience, so then we would pull into the restaurant, and I would know that this wasn't the restaurant. Why do we even pull in here? So then I got where we didn't pull in there. We'd just drive by it. And then once we'd go past it, then she wanted it, and I'd say, it doesn't exist. That restaurant does not exist. I'm not telling you to do that in your marriage, okay? It doesn't always go well. Just because you think it doesn't mean you should say it, okay? It's key to marriage. Just because you think it doesn't mean you should say it. But she is much more decisive, and I'm married to a tremendous woman of God. I'm blessed beyond belief to be married to her, and she's got it good too, okay? So that's how it goes. He's humble. But as we would work, I'm teasing, as we would work on this indecisiveness and impatience, we had to get through that, didn't we? And thankfully now I can be a bit more patient and she can be a bit more decisive, so much that I'd say to her sometimes, I liked it better when you didn't make decisions as clearly as you make them now. But you got to work through these things because I didn't want to have a marriage that the one I loved the most, I was the most impatient with. And we could be like that as husbands and wives, can't we? Roll our eyes at each other. Don't do that. Now, here's the fruit of it. Patience is wise. It says in verse 11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. A man's wisdom gives him patience. And it is to his glory to overlook an offense. We are in a hurry and God is not. Let it go. Overlook it. Overlook it. Doesn't mean you don't have to have a conversation. Say, look, we got to get this right. We kind of crossed some boundaries here. We got to have healthy conversations in our relationships. So I'm not saying just throw it away. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm saying let it go and overlook it. When you're patient, you realize you don't have to be upset about everything. You don't have to fix everything. Just be patient with it. And it is to your glory, man, your glory, woman. You'll look better in the deal if you overlook it. Let it go. On Father's Day, if you're a father of a young daughter, you know, let it go. Because this movie, Frozen, came out. Feel free to sing it with me. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. You got it. I want to build a snowman too. I got the whole movie in me. It's there. God has been speaking to you through your children. Let it go. It's okay that the sippy cup got knocked off. It's okay that they ate barbecue in their nice clothes. Let it go. It's to your glory to overlook the offense. Wisdom births patience, and the fruit of patience comes out in our lives to say, let's let it go. Let's let it go. See, patience is seeing clearly, not stuffing deeply. Patience is seeing clearly. Good, healthy conversation. You know, that hurt me. That bothered me. Not grace is a better teacher than anger. So you let go of the offense and you have the conversation. Patience is seeing clearly, not stuffing deeply. Now, what do we do as men? We do it as women. You do it as women too, but men in particular, we stuff, don't we? We stuff deeply. I'm not going to be mad. I'll just bite my lip. We stuff it till finally we freak out and we lose it. And everybody's like, dude, what is up with Dad? Why did he freak out about the ice cream cone? It isn't that he freaked out about the ice cream cone. He freaked out about 9 ice cream cones before. And then that one was like, I've had it. No more ice cream ever. Nobody's ever eating in my car again, ever. Maybe that's too honest for you. We've got to overlook it and realize that we can't stuff deeply. You ever seen in the mall the Build-A-Bear? Build-A-Bear little thing, what do? You pick out your bear. Step two is you pick out the stuffing and you stuff it into the bear. Then you get your little heart, the bear's heart, and you put it into the stuffing. And then you stuff that all up and you seal that up. That's exactly what men do. We stuff and we stuff and we stuff until finally our heart is around, surrounded by all the things that we stuffed. So we got a stuffed heart, so we find a stuffed chair, so we can eat stuffing on Thanksgiving and sit and watch football and become a passive male. Because we've been stuffing, stuffing, stuffing. Don't live a life of stuffering. Live a life of letting God bring that out of you. Bring it out of you. God's not in a hurry. You're in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. Let it go. Overlook it. You're not going to get it back. You're not going to be able to make them pay. You have to see clearly. Grace is a better teacher than anger. Overlook instead of making them pay. Overlook instead of making them pay. Now, when did this verse come alive? This verse came alive for me a couple weeks ago. I was on a plane with my family. And you know the Latin word for dad? You know what it means in Latin? Dad in Latin means pack mule. Is what it means, okay? That's what it means, pack mule. Because you carry all the gear, especially the younger they are, the more gear there is. So you're carrying diaper bags that look like purses. I mean, you got everything you could have. But then now we're at the stage of my family, everybody can carry their own stuff, but we get onto the plane, and so it's 4 of us on the plane. We all have got our carry-on luggage onto the plane. And so we go in, and so I'm kind of directing traffic, and we walk into the plane. They're going to get in the seats, so we're in 28, you know, C, D, E, and F. And so I'm going to take these bags, and I'm going to put them up on top, you know, in the little overhead bins. So it's my job to take all 4 of these bags and to put them up there. So I'm like, I'm feeling like super dad, okay? I'm helping the family. I'm providing. We're going to have a great trip. This is going to be awesome. I start putting the bags up. And you know, when you put up the bags, you're kind of stopping traffic all the way down the aisle. So this guy's standing there who doesn't have a family, doesn't have a wife. Probably, I don't even think he has friends. I mean, to tell you the truth, I don't think anybody likes him, but maybe his mom. I'm not sure, an aunt somewhere. But he's standing there watching me do this, okay? I don't see that he's watching until he starts talking to me. So I put him up there, and it's kind of like the, you know how daddy, I did it. Okay, we're done. Now, what's next? Everybody in their seats. Everybody said, okay, here we go. So I do that, and he goes, thanks for leaving room for the rest of us, man. And your godly pastor. I looked at him. I said, no problem, dude. Ain't that terrible? Man, I sat down, he went by, and I was mad. For about 20 minutes, I'm like, man, you don't understand. Everybody gets a carry-on, and we only had four, and we're doing this right. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to go back to 31R, or whatever seat he's in, B. Not R, wasn't that wide of a plane, but B. I mean, I couldn't even think straight. R for revenge. I'm just going to spill my Coke on him, or forearm shiver on the way back to the bathroom, something like that. And then my memory verse came to my mind. Proverbs 19:11. That's what you've been looking at. A man's wisdom gives him patience, and it is to his glory to overlook the offense. And after I rehearsed in my mind all the things I was going to say, I went, Lord, a man's wisdom gives him patience. Lord, give me patience right now. And Lord, it's to my glory and your glory to overlook this offense. So now I started to pray for the man that's back there in 32B or whatever he was in. Lord, bless him. Lord, help him. He has no friends. Nobody likes him, God. Help him. Father. So I'm praying for him, and I really am beginning to pray sincerely. Lord, you're doing something in me spiritually. This is an opportunity for me to grow spiritually. Not just me to get my way and to be respected. This is the moment. So I have to pray and say, Lord, help me with this. See, wisdom and patience is powerful. Proverbs 25:15, a ruler can be persuaded through patience. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Proverbs 16:32, patience is better than power. Controlling one's temper is better than capturing a city. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen and holy ones, dearly loved, put on heartfelt compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Patience gives birth to, or wisdom gives birth to patience, and then we're able to walk it out and to say, okay, let me trust in this way. Now, here's what kind of happened, sweet revenge. We got off the plane, and everybody's got their own bags, and we're in the concourse now, and Kelly didn't know that this guy was behind her. And I'm behind, Kelly's here, and then kind of the kids and me, and I don't know why I'm in the back, but I'm walking, and the guy's behind her, and Kelly is just kind of walking through the airport, just a smile, not real decisive about how she's going to stay straight in her lane. And the guy's behind her, trying to get past her, and she's just kind of doing this, no clue that it's him. And I'm like, that's my girl right there. Yeah! The two have become one, and he is getting it now. She didn't even know till this morning that she was in front of him like that. I just, it was sweet, just personal in the airport. You just let the Lord take care of it, right? That's how you do it. And you overlook the offense. Now, let me give you three quick questions, and we're going to wrap up, to ask here as we go through in our lives. Here's the quick questions. Realizing this, that the power of patience is from spiritual growth. It's a fruit of the Spirit, okay? So we're going to ask these questions. A fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to hit that more in just a second. Number one, ask this. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Don't win the point and lose the person. Don't win the point and lose the person. Men, you can win the point with your wife and lose trust with her. Great. You're right. You're right. What, do you want a trophy? I mean, what's the deal? You're right, but in forcing your way of establishing you are right, you lost in the relationship. Chief of sinners, I'm a good speaker. I'm a good talker. I'm a good debater. I can win, But here's what I found. When I win, I often lose. Hey, you kids aren't going to mess with me. I'm in charge of this house. And I lose with my kids. Hey, this is what we're going to do. And I lose in relationships. Don't win the point and lose the relationship. It'd be better for you to lose the point. Here's what we say in our marriage. If we have a little tiff, we'll say this. I choose us. I choose us. So we'll say in our relationship, if we get in a little tiff, somebody, one of us will just say it, I choose us. And then we'll have a little disagreement. You're going to have disagreements. That's how it goes. But I'm choosing us before we get to this. It's great. Who cares? Let it go. Let it go. It's not a big deal. I choose us. So ask, is it worth it? Don't win the point and lose the person. You'll actually lose. Number two, ask, whom am I acting like? Whom am I acting like? An English teacher told me after the previous service, that is the correct word. It is whom. Whom am I acting like? Your dad, your boss, your coach, or Christ? Who are you acting like? We all can act like our dad sometimes, and that could be positive, that could be negative. We can all act like our coach sometimes. That could be positive, that could be negative. We can all act like our boss sometimes. That could be positive, that could be negative. We can all act like Christ sometimes. That could be positive or that could be positive. That's how it goes. But if you ever said something you thought, why did I just say that? That's what my dad always would say to me. That's what my mom would always say. That's what my uncle would always say. That's what that teacher would always say. And when they said it, I didn't like it. And somehow I just said it. Whom am I sounding like? And when I'm patient, I sound like Christ a lot more than when I'm impatient. Number three, tell God your frustration and need for patience. So ask, is it worth it? Ask, whom am I acting like? And number three, tell God your frustration and need for patience. Lord, I need you. I'm in 28E and I'm mad at 30B and I need you, Lord, right now. I don't want this to ruin my trip. I want this to ruin our time together. I don't need to be as upset about this. Who cares about the luggage racks? Lord, I need your help. Here it is. Because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. How do you get more patient? By growing in Christ. You get more patience by growing in Christ Jesus. It is a spiritual fruit. So tell God your need. Tell God your need. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says this, for the fruit of the Spirit, so this is the fruit that comes out of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So it comes out of growing in Christ. The more we become like Jesus, the more patient we become on earth. Why? Because God is the ultimate source of patience. Think about that. Who is the most patient in all of history? God. Who's the most patient all of eternity? God. He is patient. He's the best father ever. And look how his kids turned out. And he's patient with us. Even in the midst of it, one man put it like this, if I was God and the world treated me like it did God, I'd kick the blasted thing to pieces. But God is so patient and he loves us and he cares for us and he's not in a hurry and he's drawing us to himself so that the fruit of the Spirit would be love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let me put it together for us. The fruit of the Spirit, the first word is love. But in 1 Corinthians 13, what's the first word of love? Love is patient. So it comes together. How did I define patience? Self-control under pressure. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control is the final one. It all comes together as we grow in Christ, discovering the patience of God with me, then I'm able to have patience with somebody else. Let me show you the last scripture as we wrap up. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Great verse of scripture about the patience of God. I want Jesus to come back this afternoon is what I want. But he's got work he wants to do in hearts, and that's what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. Don't forget this. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God didn't come back this morning because more people are coming to Christ today. Christ didn't come back this morning because more are going to come to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. God is patient. He's patient with you. So as we conclude, I want you to hear this loud and clear. Get to know Jesus. And as you get to know Jesus, you will grow in wisdom. It says in Psalm 111, verse 10, I believe, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So as we get to know the Lord, we grow in wisdom in Him. As we grow in wisdom, it gives birth to patience. And now that we have patience, we can overlook offense, and it's to God's glory, to our own glory, and we can let it go. We can let it go. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Found seldom in a woman, never in a man. I'd add, unless they know Jesus Christ. And then the patience of God can come through you, Dad. Can come through you, Mom. Can come through you, kid, with your parents. You got to be patient with them too. They're not perfect, never will be. Patience comes from God through us, and it comes from wisdom, and it's to our glory. For a man's wisdom gives patience, and it is to his glory that he overlooks an offense. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's been patiently waiting upon you to come to know Him as Savior. If you don't have a church home, God's been patiently waiting upon you to come and be a part of a body of Christ. If you've been impatient in your relationships, God's been waiting on you to come and to say, Lord, I repent and I'm sorry. To maybe even say you're sorry to somebody else, but to get that relationship right. We're going to have a time of invitation. That's where I'm going to stand down front and at our different campuses. The campus pastor will be there down front. Are you patient enough for one more song of response to the Lord? Or you're like, no, I gotta get out of here. I heard the talk on patience. I gotta get to my car. Let God speak to you and you respond to Him.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.